Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jumping off an hour three here of Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, Mark Menard at Master Control. Coming up tonight, the last lap with Seth Dunlap at 8 o'clock. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. As you heard there in the Sports Flash, LSU trailing Southeastern 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth inning. 7, 8, and 9 hitters up for the LSU Tigers. The bottom of that lineup's got to start producing at some point. Really, the lineup in general for LSU has been a little bit dormant today. Cold weather, rain, a little bit difficult to play the game of baseball in those conditions. Bubba in Metairie. What's going on, Bubba? You're on WWL.
Hey, how y'all doing this evening?
Good.
What's up, Chris? Hey, thank you for your services. Where you at, Bobby?
Bobby stepped out for a second.
Okay. Hey, man, look, I wanted to ask about Delvin White. I mean, to me, you know this, Christian, growing up in Louisiana, all the linebackers that come through LSU, and this kid's accolades just speak for themselves. It's almost, I mean, he won a Dick Butkus Award for the first time in LSU history. I didn't know this, but doing my research on him, I learned this. I would have thought another linebacker. I mean, Brady was a dog. Brady James was a dog. You know what I'm saying? With the Cowboys. Where do you think, like, if you give me your opinion, not Mike D'Antonio's opinion, your opinion, where do you think the two or three top teams he's going to go to?
I think in a range of 16, 17, 18 right now. I think Cleveland's right there at 17, I want to say. I think he goes in the top 25 of the draft, first round. As far as the teams, I'd have to pull up the draft order. I'd have to pull up the draft order to give you the number, you know, the names of the teams. But I think in that range of 16, 17, 18, Cleveland's at 16.
Well, Cleveland. Well, I tell you what, Cleveland's building, though. They got good running backs. They got a good quarterback. Their offensive line's pretty good. Their defense is good. I'd like to see him go over there. You know, the only thing, Christian, though, to me is this kid's proved himself in college. Now, you got to go to the NFL now, but you got to play 3 years, and you playing in a physical position where you can get hurt, and you're taking minimum money almost.
Well, you're saying about if you're going in the first round, I don't understand. What are you trying to say?
Well, if you go in the first round, what do you think the minimum he's going to make as 17, 18?
It changes year to year. I'd have to go back and look at the 16th, 17th overall pick a year ago because of the CBA and the way that slotted system that is relatively new because of the new/old collective bargaining agreement that they signed in 2011. It doesn't allow for these monster deals of these rookies. It's slotted based on what they
– That's my point. They got to play their way into their money, but
yeah,
they can get hurt. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, I think that's only fair, though. I think the quarterback, Jamarcus Russell, I think was the key for that. I think once he did that and bust, I think that was the NFL's antennas going up saying, look, we got to have something
it
here.
It was really the Sam Bradford. It was really Sam Bradford and Matthew Stafford.
When he hurt his knee?
No. When Sam Bradford got drafted, he walked into the league. He made $53 million before he even took a snap. And some of the veterans were going, wait a minute, how are rookies getting paid like this when they haven't accomplished anything in the NFL? And here I am, the veteran, that's in his sixth, seventh season, and I'm going, well, I'm not making that kind of dollars. So that's what sparked that conversation and the slotted pay scale for draft picks that we have now.
Right, because, like, if you've been here 7, 8 years, you feel like you should get paid what you feel like you should get paid, and you got rookies coming in getting paid more than you. I mean, you're getting guaranteed money. I mean, Jamarcus Russell.
Bubba, at your job, how long have you been at your job?
Shoot, I've been at my job. Man, I've been doing this since I was probably 18, 19 years old.
So how many years is that?
Shoot, I just turned 39, so.
Okay. So if somebody walked in at 18 and made more money than you with your experience of what, that's 21 years? Wouldn't you be a little upset about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd go talk to my boss. I wouldn't call him on the phone. I want to see him face to face, and I go talk to him. I mean, that's you know how that goes, Christian.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would feel that. But, hey, one last thing, though. Hey, man, look, tell Bobby I said what's up. Hey, look, I appreciate you for your services, brother. Thanks for getting me on.
All right, Bubba, thank you very much. Coming back with John Brady, former college basketball coach, analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. The Tigers taking on the Florida Gators tomorrow at 6 o'clock right here on WWL. LSU basketball back in action tomorrow night, taking on Florida in the PMAC. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick here. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. We welcome in now the color analyst for LSU basketball on the LSU Sports Radio Network, John Brady, former LSU Tiger coach as well. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How y'all?
All right, Coach Brady. Now, Coach Brady, this is not your first rodeo, so you know how this goes. You look, Kentucky getting ready for LSU. They got Tennessee coming to town. And then you say, maybe they overlook LSU, and obviously the proof's in the pudding what they did to Tennessee. Isn't that the case right now where LSU's at, with Florida coming to town, considering Tennessee's on the horizon?
Well, let me respond to that like this, Bobby. I'm not going to take away anything from LSU beating Kentucky in Rupp Arena.
Right.
I don't care if they had the Boston Celtics coming in there the next game. That's their problem, not ours. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm all for the Tigers. And for them to go into Rupp Arena, hey, I coached there 11 years, never won a game there. So for Will Wade to go in there his first time ever and win that game, regardless of the circumstance or regardless of what Kentucky did not do or what – people may perceive they did not do, that's Calipari's fault. But you gotta congratulate Will Wade and that team for how they were able to go in there and win that game at Kentucky when really nobody thought LSU was going to win that game but those players and that coaching staff. So I understand your point from a coaching standpoint, and maybe that had something to do with it. But at the end of the day, I give all the credit to Coach Wade and the Tigers.
Now, Coach Brady didn't talk about the challenges of Coach Wade, and I think he'll have him ready to play against Florida. I know Florida's a real good defensive team, but just break that down before we even talk about the Volunteers coming this weekend.
Well, I think the biggest game was the game we just played on the road at Georgia.
Okay.
Coming off the Kentucky win, you know, on the road and having that all that euphoria that goes around beating Kentucky and everybody telling you how good you are, and then being able to go to Georgia and play the last place team or close to the bottom team in the league, where the roles were reversed. Everybody didn't think we were going to win in Kentucky, but everybody expected us to win at Georgia, and I think that was the most difficult hurdle to cross, and they were able to do that on the road. Florida coming in, I think, is we get all the respect that LSU can give, regardless of Tennessee coming in on Saturday. I think Florida is playing their best basketball now. They've won two in a row. They're leading the league in points allowed in Southeastern Conference play. They're second or third in the league in field goal percentage defense. And the difference in that game is Florida gives up 62 a game. We average 83. So I think whoever can do what they do the best for an extended period of time is going to win that game.
Coach, what has Coach Will Wade been able to do so early to have success? Like, is there one or two things that you can put your finger on and say, hey, this is why he's having success?
Yeah, well, Bobby will know this. He recruited well. That's number one.
Get the horses.
Yeah, get the gas. You know, I've always had this philosophy that number one, good players first. Good coaching, too, makes for a good team, and that's what's happening at LSU. He's a very good coach, and what Will Wade has at 36 years old that I never had at 36 years old is he's smart. He understands the media. They like him. And I think just his intelligence factor, along with his ability to coach it and be consistent in what he does every single day. And let's you know, like I said earlier, they have good players. So you have all those things going for you. You hold your players accountable. The team gets better. It's improved. And I think people have seen that as the course of the year has gone along.
Now, Coach Brady, obviously when you look at you're trying to get the fans, even the casual basketball fan, familiar with the roster and the players. When you look at, obviously, Naz Reid, He's in the conversation for Freshman of the Year. Tremont Waters, they've heard of that, garnering votes for Player of the Year. But who would maybe be that player that, not, I don't know if you describe it as an X factor, but maybe under the radar that really contributes at the highest level game in and game out?
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of Skylar Mays, a solid player. I tell everybody, if I was at LSU, I'd recruited him just like LSU did. He's a pre-med major. He's a solid basketball player. He plays the same way whether he scores 16 points or 6 points. He's an excellent defender. His demeanor in the locker room and on the floor has leadership written all over it. And I've always been a fan of him. And I think he's getting credit, but I think he deserves much more credit for the role that he has played on this team this year, in spite of the respect I have for Tremont Waters and Nas Reed. I like both of those guys, and they're very good players. But I think this team would be a little bit different if Skylar Mays wasn't on it.
Hanging out with John Brady, color analyst on the LSU basketball team and the LSU Sports Radio Network. Just kind of updating LSU baseball right now. They're in action against Southeastern in the bottom of the seventh inning, and Josh Smith just took a fastball right to the mouth. He's going back in the ball game. He's back in the ball game. He's got a bloody lip, though. Coach, you mentioned the Florida Gators starting to play their best basketball. And what do they do well? What is it that could present some problems for LSU?
Well, I think what they do well is they defend well for extended periods of time. I think they're more of a deliberate team than LSU. I think it's going to be a possession-conscious game if Florida can make it that way. I think if the score gets 80 or above, it favors the Tigers. And if it gets low 70s or high 60s, it favors Florida. You know, Mike White's an excellent coach. He played there in New Orleans at high school, went to Ole Miss. He's a very good basketball coach. But I think the two teams are different in ways. LSU doesn't quite defend as well as Florida. LSU likes to get up and down the floor and will shoot it and go rebound it. If Florida can't keep the Tigers off the offensive glass, that favors us at home. But if we can't if we can't offensively get the score up a little bit in the high 70s and low 80s, I think it's going to benefit Florida. So it's like I said earlier, whoever does what they do longer for extended periods of time, that's the team that's going to win the game. But I like LSU at home. I like the sellout crowd that they're going to have, and I think all of those factors will help LSU win that game.
Now, Coach Brady, you know, it really caught my attention. You talk about playing at the PMAC and the home court advantage, but how about what they've done on the road?
And, unbelievable.
But to me, I'm looking at 7 consecutive road win against Georgia. They win Tennessee, loss at Kentucky. The Tigers being the only team to be undefeated away from home in league play. And then I'm looking down the road. Now, we could do this. The players aren't doing that, and Coach Wade, but at Alabama and at Florida, what would that mean? To me, that'd be unbelievable to go undefeated on the road potentially when you're kind of hoping at times to be .500.
Well, look, if you go undefeated on the road in the SEC, if you don't win the league, something's wrong.
Right.
I agree with you, Bobby. You understand. You know, you play .500 or a little above on the road, you've got a chance to have a good season in league play. I think what Will Wade has allowed this team or made this team realize is how fragile winning and losing is. We've won 3 overtime games on the road in SEC play. And I've always believed that a special season comes down to your ability to win close games, whether it's on the road or at home. And outside of the Arkansas game at home when we got beat 1, every other close game we've been able to win. So, I think winning is fragile, but I think it does a lot for your players in terms of confidence and believe that they can win. And since those things have happened to this LSU team, they have just found a way to win close games this year, and that's why they're on their way to a really special, significant season.
John Brady here, former college basketball coach, analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. And, Coach, do you think right now, and again, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but do you think right now, looking at the NCAA tournament, is this a Final Four team, an Elite Eight team?
Well, I did say this. When I saw us play the second half at home against Auburn, I told Will Wade off the air that, you know, you look like a Sweet 16 team tonight. And I think once you win a game or two in NCAA tournament, I think then it comes down to possibly matchups, and it comes down to making the right plays at the right times. And I think so far this LSU team has been able to make the right plays at the right time to win close games. If that continues, you know, anything can happen. You know, my team in 06 that went to the Final Four, we had two buzzer beater wins. I mean, it wasn't like we were beating everybody by 20. But we found a way to win, made the right plays at the right time. This LSU team is developing that sort of attitude, that sort of approach.
Now, Coach Brady, boy, you sure sound like you're having fun. You know, we both have fun. and I know you love LSU basketball. It seems like you're truly enjoying what you're doing right now with the program.
Bob, it's been great for me to come back and be a part of this. Will Wade's been too kind to me. Chris Blair's great to work with. The LSU people have received me well, and it's really been a nice thing at 64 years old to be able to do this. And I'm having a ball with it, you know, and I just appreciate where I am with it. And hopefully the people like what Chris Blair and I do, and I'm helping them understand the game. And,
right. I was just about to say that, Coach. I when I'm listening, I'm going, all right, I'm getting educated. I'm learning some things because of your insight.
Well, it's been fun, and I'm really appreciative from the administration there, and really Will Wade for allowing me to do it and bringing me back on board. And it's been a great thing for me. And I am happy, Bobby. I'm having a good time.
Coach, thanks a bunch for the time, all right? And good luck tomorrow night. Have a good call.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach Brady.
Right.
John Brady, former college basketball coach, analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. It is tied now, LSU and Southeastern, 5-5. Antoine DePlantis, a little infield chopper to the right side, plates Josh Smith after he got struck in the face by a fastball leading off the inning.
Well, let me tell you, I appreciate Coach Brady. That would be a fun coach to go just shoot the ball and have a beer with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, you know.
Have you ever heard Jacques Doucet's impersonation of Coach Brady?
No, I heard him do Coach Manero.
Yeah, he does Coach Brady, too. That's very, very on point.
No, like Coach Marty would be a little uneasy. And he's, guess what, he got in his 80s. Now, you want to go to a barbecue, have a beer with him.
Sure.
But Coach Brady,
he's mellowed out a little bit.
Yeah. But Aaron, from day one, since I've met John Brady, I said, man, I can hang out with that dude.
Oh, for sure. All right, this is Sports Talk, our CBS and local news headlines next. And back to your calls at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is WWL. Hanging out with the founding father of the Hoodat Nation, also the founding father of the bootleg T-shirt Nation. Excited to put on your Goodell clown shirt for our ride on the original crew of Orpheus on Friday, March 1st?
Yes, I'm going to wear that shirt. Now I have more than one, Christian. I have different color schemes.
Okay.
Also, I'm going to save one, whatever you want me to wear for the parade.
Wear the black and gold one, the one you just ordered.
For the parade.
Yeah.
And then I'll wear the other one for the draft.
Yeah.
I have, whenever we have the draft, I like to whip out the bootleg T-shirts and...
It's not just the draft when you whip out the bootleg T-shirts. It's all year long. Your entire wardrobe consists of bootleg T-shirts.
But then you expose that to the Hoodat Nation because then you're doing a draft show. This kind of then you kind of turn the page. You know, because when the draft comes about, okay, how are you building upon the future?
Right.
You look at OTAs and you look minicamp. We have a lot of fun. So that's when you got to reveal what you think maybe of Commissioner Goodell, you know, going forward. And... I have one on that. I don't know if it's, I should wear it in public.
What is it?
I can't.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It's dealing with the referees.
And by the way, I'm going to be throwing, we're going to be throwing some signed footballs during the parade. I have some referee voodoo dolls. All right.
That'll be a hot item.
Oh, yeah. And I got some black and gold beads with a big whistle on it.
That'll be another hot item.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. We're all going to be rocking the Goodell T-shirt, the clown T-shirt.
Yeah, we got the black and gold version.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
back to the phones we go. Wayne and Kenner, what's going on, Wayne? You're on WWL.
Okay, how y'all doing, man? How y'all doing?
Hey, Wayne.
How you doing, Bob? Y'all remember when Incognito, Richie Incognito, used to play the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah.
And he used the N-word and they had the tape. And then he got picked up by Rex Ryan with the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
He didn't suffer no consequence of that situation.
Well, I think he might have sat out a little while, but the reason why he didn't sit out too long, because he could play. And Wayne, it's amazing, no matter what kind of controversy you're involved in, if a team thinks that you can help them win, you're going to be given an opportunity. It's amazing how that works out. You might say, oh,
you're
well,
right.
You know, well, we really don't think that way. Hell yeah, they do.
Well, look, that's a lot of walks of life. It's not just the NFL, NBA, pro sports. It's in the pro industry in general. If you are mega talented and you can help an organization or a company improve their bottom line, winning, then you're going to get second opportunities that you and I or somebody of average ability would probably not get.
Well, because you look at and Wayne, you look at Incognito, that before all that went down, talk about between a rock and a hard place, what is politically correct or what's acceptable, unacceptable, that you had a number of African-American players, black players, that had his back. Who's the Pouncey? Remember you had the Pouncey brothers? One was the center. With the Steelers, another one was the Dolphins. Man, hey, they were hardcore. They all had, well, I should say the Dolphins brother, had Incognito's back. And the reason why he had a chance to come back that quickly, you know why? He was one of the top guards in the NFL.
And look at Ray Rice. Look at Ray Rice's situation with that other guy got picked up by Cleveland. Yeah, that's another problem.
Yeah, Ray Rice, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Ray Rice, though, I mean, he was just washed up by the time that story even came out, and he suffered.
Well, when the video, when the video came out, when he's beating, when he hit his fiance in the elevator, no, he was
knocked
like
her out. Done. He didn't just hit her; he knocked her out.
Well, he was done because he was a 30-some-year-old running back, averaging 3 yards a carry. No, it's not going to cut it. Now, Kareem Hunt, he's from Toledo. He's really going back home with Cleveland. He's always with the Chiefs. He's relatively young. And didn't he kick that girl in the head?
It was in Cleveland, at a Cleveland hotel.
That was unacceptable. And who knows? Kareem Hunt, to show you how talented Kareem Hunt is, he is the AFC version of Alvin Kamara. Now, to show you how good he is, he might get – Cleveland took a chance on him with the GM and all. He might get suspended almost all of next year. But they looking, because of his age and his skill set, they looking 2020 – 2021 beyond.
Now, well, he signed him to a one-year deal.
Okay, but Christian, he has to be on the straight and narrow. Now, when is he going to be eligible? How long is the NFL going to suspend him? We don't know that yet.
Right.
I'm just telling you, because he is, listen, Alvin Kamara's been on the up and up, right? Outstanding citizen for us. Well, he's on that version as far as what he achieved on the football field. Just look at his rookie year with Alvin Kamara. But what he did off the field is unacceptable. And now he's going to have to pay the price. But he's still young enough where the NFL's not giving up on him because of that skill set when you want to get his hands on the ball in open space. Now, listen, I'm not saying when is enough enough, what is right, because some people say, come on, how he even has another chance? Well, I'm not running an NFL team. You need to go talk to the owners and the general manager. But we are a country of second chances. That's all I know. Look what happened with Michael Vick.
You got Vick, you got others, Kareem Hunt.
You could, if you truly do research.
Mike Tyson?
Okay, no. Who was just a linebacker from Alabama but with the 49ers? And he had that psycho girlfriend, the one that goes to the Redskins.
I forget his name.
It's
on the tip of my tongue right now.
No, I can see him. But, okay, why are the Redskins giving him a chance?
Reuben Foster.
Reuben Foster. Come on,
from the Saints, almost drafted, by the way.
If Reuben Foster could not play, he'd be lucky to get in the Lions Football League to have a chance.
Right.
Right, but here he goes. So, I don't know if he'll ever be right. Well, what is truly justice, however people perceive as justice. But all I know is if you could play, you might have to get penalized and have a penalty or consequence go against you, but you still get an opportunity, especially if you're young. And they think maybe we could control you and turn that corner.
LSU and Southeastern 5-5 tied up, top of the eighth inning, two outs. Todd Peterson brought on to pitch to close out the eighth inning. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. By the way, want to make a correction. I was thumbing through the Arthur Hardy Mardi Gras guy. Great publication. He puts hours and hours and hours of work into that. And it's chock full of all the information, history about the crews, et cetera. I was just reading about the one we're riding in, the original crew of Orpheus. And, of course, it highlights the Grand Marshals, Bobby Hebert, and Christian Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. It's K-R-I-S-T-I-A-N.
But then they put a C.
A-R-I-C.
So he didn't know we call you K-Dog?
I don't know.
K-Dog. K, not a well, C. We don't say C-Dog.
Right.
It's K-Dog.
No, but I think that he was probably given information by somebody else.
Look, Arthur Hardy doesn't get anything wrong. That just means you've been spelling your name wrong all these years. You didn't know it.
That's right. I've been spelling my name wrong.
Christian with a K. No, that'll get to Christian. You gotta make sure you spell.
Well, yeah,
Christian.
It does.
Oh, I know it does.
Especially your last name. If it's your last name, come on, that's your legacy. That's your family name.
Yes.
So everybody wants their last name pronounced correctly or spelled correctly. I mean,
get it right.
I go through great lengths to say Garrick, you know, and enunciate and emphasize the C.
And don't call him Chris.
Yes, do not call me Chris. I don't do well with that.
I love it.
Because my mother, when I was a child, somebody would call me Chris, and she would go, "His name is Christian. It is not Chris. Don't call him Chris."
Well, if Christian gets out of line, then I will say, "Come on, Chris." you know, that he might want to jump across and go Marino.
Well, you remember when you and I and Deuce got stuck up there in, I think it was Washington, right, after the training camp?
Yeah, Washington, D.C.
Well, I had a meltdown on United Airlines, I think it was, on Twitter. Got into a meltdown, and they rode back. Chris? Called me Christina. No, they called me Christina.
Oh, Christina.
But with a K.
Yeah, with a K, right.
With a K. No, that's like, listen, I have no problem because when people see Hebert, how do you get Hebert out of Hebert? But for some reason, it annoys me when
Herbert.
They put H-E-R.
Yeah.
There's no R. So if you say Hebert, I understand that. You know, ever told you the Lynn Swann story?
No.
Okay, I'm playing in the USFL, the Michigan Panthers, and ABC and ESPN are just starting. So they're televising the games like this new league, you know, starting out. So Lynn Swann's the sideline reporter with Keith Jackson. It was that old Keith Jackson?
Right.
O'Nelly,
yep.
Yeah, was up in the booth. So they're going down, and I'm having a good game or whatever. So, I mean, he pronounced my name, I think, four different ways in the first game he ever called that I'm playing. He would get the front part right and the back part wrong or vice versa, whatever. And he finally said Hebert after about three or four tries. He would say, yeah, Bobby Hebert. And then he would go, Bobby Hebert. So Hebert or Hebert. And then he said Herbert. And then he finally said Hebert. He finally, like, there's Hebert in the woods.
Right.
He finally got it right in the fourth quarter. When the game was almost over. That was the great Lynn Swann.
The great Lynn
Swann. The legend with the Steelers and Terry Bradshaw. So.
All right, quickly, we're going to go to Alex Box Stadium. Giovanni DiGiacomo leads off with a single, steals second. Chris Reed bunts him over to third. It's bottom of the eighth inning. Tigers are in scoring position with Giovanni DiGiacomo at third base. And we got one out. Looks like we're going to have a pitching change here, or at least a mound visit. Let's listen in real quick.
The Tigers a 6-5 lead here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Wow.
All right,
wow.
We missed it.
Madness,
my feed,
well,
my feed is a little late.
Yeah, we get here.
Cody Gross did everything good, running full speed out.
All right, so
field.
The Tigers now on top, 6-5 over Southeastern in the bottom of the eighth inning. Todd Peterson will resume the hill in the top of the ninth and try to preserve that lead. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. That's where it stands currently as we're actually headed to the top of the ninth now. LSU on top of Southeastern 6-5. That Brock Mathis, little Texas leaguer, over the shortstop's head, scores Giovanni DiGiacomo. That's a great name. That might be my most favorite name on LSU's team.
Well, but I like Chris Blair saying, hit it where there ain't.
Yeah.
Hit it where they ain't. Listen, we can understand that.
Of course. That
they ain't there, so
ain't
hit
there
it there.
No more?
So hit it there. Hit it where there ain't.
By the way, I also have some beads of ain't there no more, like recognizing ain't there no more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like post Katrina?
Yeah, like what's,
ain't there no more.
Yeah. Be thrown out as well.
Ain't there no more. We don't have K&B, Cats and Best, though.
So as the Grand Marshal, man, what do you, I know you got experience as a Grand Marshal. So what do you want to make sure that you do as the Grand Marshal of a parade?
Pace myself better.
Pace yourself better?
Yeah, of course. It's a 14-hour day.
Sure.
Or plus. You know, so yeah, just pace yourself better. Because
are you going to play it up to the crowd, man?
Y'all excited.
You're banging on your chest with a Goodell shirt on?
No, I'm going to let you do that.
That's not my personality. You
are. Yeah, you are. Come on.
That's not my personality. That's yours, man. You're the one that gets fired up like that.
I don't know. I celebrated T-Bob's 30th birthday at the lake house, and my granddaughter's one-year-old, and I was jamming to Led Zeppelin. I think I messed up my knee. No, I'm serious.
Again? Didn't you hear it during the Who Dat chant?
Yeah, I mean, I got to slow down. I was like, all of a sudden, I'm hurting myself anytime I try and have a good time. So then, you know what happens? I'm just having to take anti-inflammatories every day.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to have my knees replaced, you know. Ooh. But so I'm just looking at that and just kind of buying my time, so to speak. And but I my ankles are fine. You know, where you connect your joints, my wrists feel fine.
Right. Now, you didn't have, you had an ACL in high school, right? You didn't have any ACLs
no,
when you were
No. My left elbow is good. My right elbow is a little jacked, but my shoulders. I would say sometimes I wake up at night, and Coach Moore and I was talking about this. We two like old farts talking about, God. He goes, Bobby, you like, I wake up in the middle of the night, and, you know, I got to go to the bathroom or something. And I feel like I just got shot in my shoulder. My shoulder's killing me. You know, you fall asleep and all of a sudden it's dead. And you feel like you hardly can even, like, move it. You can't even scratch your ear. So, yeah, my left shoulder's jacked, I think, from getting hit. Kind of my left knee. But now I must have did some dancing move at T-Bob's party. And now my right knee's hurting on the outside. So, I don't know.
And you hurt yourself listening to Led Zeppelin at that, too.
Cause I was jamming air guitar and all that and stuff.
You were playing the guitar, the air guitar.
Yeah, doing having a lot of fun.
What's your favorite Led Zeppelin? Is it Kashmir?
Yeah, I like it all. Song Remains the Same. I mean, I'm just House of the Holy.
No Quarter.
You know the whole anything Led Zeppelin, because 200 years and I've said this before. I mean, people will be listening to Led Zeppelin. They are truly legends beyond their years. I mean, so and.
Is JoJo going to be there to keep you under control?
I don't know. She might show up. She might show up, but she's not coming to early breakfast. She's not hanging out the whole day.
That doesn't surprise me.
You know, she said, I might come right before the parade and join you also.
All right, we're going to go back out to the box. Got two outs in the top of the ninth inning. LSU trying to close out Southeastern 6-5. They're on top. We'll try to stay with it until we go to the top of the hour or they close it out.
98 miles an hour. Whoa. And the few that are still on hand took notice of that pitch.
98.
With two outs, the 1-1 pitch. No. Inside corner called strike two.
98 again. The dugout is
going crazy.
Who is
that, Chris?
Todd Peterson.
Peterson now. Cool as the other side of the pillow. Steps off the rubber.
He's going to try to throw this one 100.
Two outs. Nobody on. Tigers up 6-5. 1-2, the count to Paluti. Peterson rares, fires, swing and a miss. Struck him out. Peterson throwing lightning bolts to finish this one. Drops it back at 89 after hitting 96, 97, and 98. And the Tigers get the win. 6-5 here on a Tuesday night.
Wow. 98 miles an hour. Peterson typically throws 94, 95. He's just gassed up for this one, man. Closes out LSU closes out Southeastern 6-5. I believe that's his second save on the young season.
And you know, right quick, I can say this before we go to the top of the hour. You know what Deion Sanders told me the hardest thing to do? If he knew it was all coming at 98, 100, he said, I could bat 500. But it's when that pitch is coming in, let's say 96, 98, then that next pitch, you know what he said? He threw an 89.
Yeah.
Then that next pitch might be 84 and it's moving. He goes, that's why it's so hard to hit, and you consider it great if you hit 300.
Fail 7 out of 10 times.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's the thing. It's not just throwing the same pitches when you mix it up.
Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.